Welcome to Pain, Passion, and Purpose. I am your host, Shaquita Torres, where I share mental health education, biblical teachings, and tips to help you to heal on purpose so you can walk boldly in your God-given purpose. This podcast is sponsored by Empowered Purpose Academy, a certified online Christian academy where we provide services such as certification for Christian life coaches, mentorship for master's level aspiring and existing Christian therapists, mentorship for Christians, and continued education courses for the body of Christ. You can visit www.empoweredpurposeacademy.com to learn more and to download your free guide. If you like today's episode, please subscribe and leave us a raving review so that others can tap into the knowledge and wisdom that will be shared on this podcast. Thank you so much for being here. Hey, you guys, welcome back to my podcast. So in today's episode, I did another live within the same week. The Lord had gave me a very specific and detailed dream about these two people who were operating in the spirit of legalism. And so he told me that morning when I woke up to go and teach about legalism. And so this teaching was so in-depth and so layered. I still feel like I didn't say enough, even though it's an hour long. I'm just warning you. But there were so many different things that kept popping up. I'm like, I don't have time to teach on this because that's going to take me off the primary topic. And then two, it's going to take a long time. Okay. And so in this particular live I did, I talked about signs to look for if you operate in legalism and how to break away from it. I also shared my testimony, as I always do, and was obedient to what God told me to do. Also, in some parts, you may hear me sound like I'm dismissing a topic or a subject, but I'm not. This particular day, when I went live, my family and I had planned, and so I was trying my best to study. So I had to take a good hour and a half just to study and get the full message that the Lord wanted me to share. And so my husband was like, hey, babe, we got to be at this place about a certain time, so go ahead and go live as soon as you can. So he was waiting for me. Then I had a sister in Christ that, you know, wanted to meet me to get some anointing oil from me, and she had to leave at a certain time herself. And so I was pressed for time, but it was still longer than all my other teachings. So I thank them for being very patient while I got out what it was that God wanted me to share. And so this definitely has blessed a lot of people thus far. People have shared their feedback with me saying that, oh my God, I think I'm operating in legalism. And you guys, this is not the season to operate in legalism or operate in religion. And I also have another teaching on YouTube about relationship versus religion with God. I love that particular teaching as well, because I also share my personal testimony, and it's almost like a PowerPoint presentation that I did on that one. So I love that one. I'll put that link in the description as well. And so bear with me in this teaching. I will try my best to get through it, get out some pen and paper. You know, my teachings were meaty. I recognize that. I can't help it. I'm full of the word of God. And and wisdom from the Lord. So yeah, so I will talk to you guys soon. Once again, hope you had a Merry Christmas. And don't forget to tune in on Saturday. And I'll be sharing my end of year reflections. It's called Beyond My Reach. And I'm sharing my highs and lows of 2023. Okay. So I will talk to you soon. And don't forget to subscribe. Leave me a review. You can do that on, I think, Apple. People have been asking me, hey, how do I leave a review on Spotify? I'm like, I don't think you can. So if you go to Apple Podcasts, you're able to leave an actual written review for me. I will appreciate that. And I will talk to you guys soon. All right. Bye. On the East Coast. Okay. Hello. Welcome everybody on YouTube and on Facebook. So today is a pop-up live, pop-up teaching. I did not expect to have to teach today, but God. Okay. So here I am, Lord. Here I am. And so before I start, I do want to say a quick prayer, and then I'm going to go ahead and get into what the Lord had me to share. Okay. So Father, I just thank you for your word today. I thank you for sharing your heart with me. Father, I pray God that as I share what you have given me, that your people will hear your word. It will penetrate their hearts. It will transform their thinking. It will help them to understand and see that God, they have freedom in Christ Jesus. And so Lord, as I say your word, as I speak it, as I teach it, God, I just surrender everything I have to you. My eyes, my heart, my mind, my spirit, everything, Lord. Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. So as you can see by today's title, today's teaching is called Freedom in Christ, Breaking the Chains of Legalism. Breaking the Chains of Legalism. And so if you're coming back to watch this later, be sure to put hashtag replay in the comment section and let me know where you are from. But my name is Shaquita Torres. I am a therapist. I'm a life coach, many different things. But I always will say this, I'm a daughter of God. I am God's mouthpiece. I say and do what God has required me to do the best that I can. Okay, I'm not perfect, but the best that I can. I put my best foot forward. And so I'll go ahead and share how this word, you know, came about for me to share today. So for me, the past couple of weeks, I shared this on Tuesday when I went live of how I've been seeing a lot of comments, whether it's on Instagram, whether it's on Reddit. I mean, I'm on Reddit sometimes, not often, sometimes to different groups amongst therapists, amongst, you know, other faith and mental wellness providers, Christian providers. The common theme I'm seeing is that people are struggling and really truly embracing freedom in Christ Jesus. People are really struggling to understand that they don't have to earn salvation, but salvation is a free gift from God if we just embrace it, if we embrace that gift from the Lord, okay? And so I'm going to share my dream with you that I had last night. And then when I woke up immediately after the dream ended, and I began to take notes, and the Lord just began to speak to me. And he was like, my people need to be taught this. I'm like, oh, wow, okay, God, all right, I'll do it. So with that being said, I had this dream last night. I can't remember where I was at. I had maybe two or three dreams last night leading up to this one. But this one in particular, I remember everything, detail for detail. And I remember that it was this woman of God. She was so sweet. And somehow I ended up spending the night at her house. And I can't remember. It was someone that was a friend of hers that had sent me a gift or something like that. I can't remember all the details of that. But long story short, she was nice. She had a heart for the Lord, a heart for God's people. And I remember we were talking, and some more things happened before that, but I'm not going to get into all that. And she and I were talking, and she was saying how her friend, he was stressed out and he was panicking because he was listening to, I guess, maybe some R&B or some kind of music through his Beats earbuds. And he said his power went out in his house. And he was like, the Lord, he was upset because he said, I feel like the Lord is punishing me for listening to, you know, this music through my Beats. Okay. Through my AirPods. And I'm like, and she was like, so she felt like God's punishing him. And I was like, and I asked her, I said, well, do you believe that God punished him for that too, in that way? And she was like, yeah. And then all of a sudden, I just began to start ministering to her. I was like, I said, that's legalism. I said, God is looking at your heart. He's not looking to find something to punish you for. Okay. And I remember what I said, but right now they're all coming to me. But the point of the message was this. The Lord was showing me that he has so many of his people are dealing with legalism and also religious trauma, whatever you want to call it, syndrome as well. We'll get into that. Another teaching, okay? Trying to stay focused. Y'all, this is so much. It's a lot. Okay. So I'm trying my best to stay on task and to what God gave me. And so in my dream, I was just ministering to her, and she was just crying and she was just weeping because I was letting her know. I'm like, hey, I'm like, God loves you. You know, you have a good heart. God cares more about your heart posture than anything else. Okay. And so she was crying. Then my dream ended. And so when I woke up, that's when God began to minister to me about this particular thing today. which is legalism. So what is legalism? Okay, it refers to a strict adherence to laws or rules, often rigidly and without considering the spirit of it or intent behind it. Okay. Also, it can mean this: dependence on moral law rather than on personal religious faith. That's what the dictionary gave me when I looked up the word legalism. Okay. And so as I was all morning before I went live, I just been like really just pressing in and listening to the Lord and what he had to say. And he began to remind me of my own experiences. And he began to give me examples of people and what they are dealing with even today when it comes to this. Because oftentimes, whenever you're operating in legalism, you're not always aware that you're doing it because it has become a part of your behavior, a part of your pattern, a part of your thinking. And it really does take, you know, Holy Spirit pointing things out to you and teachings like this today to help you to reevaluate where you are when it comes to this particular area. So you can see, okay, am I operating in legalism? Am I trying to earn salvation? Am I trying to earn God's love? Y'all, God's love cannot be earned, period. Hey, 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 I hope you are enjoying this episode so far. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a raving review. I also want to share with you more about Little Warriors in a Bottle. This is healing anointing oil that God instructed me to prepare back in 2015. I have received so many testimonies since 2015 about this oil. It is powerful. It has changed my life and others. So be sure to go visit www.empoweredpurposeacademy.com/shop to learn more about the oil. And while you're there, you can check out the new book that I co-authored called Just Say No, a number one international bestseller, where I share my story called What Trauma Stole From Me. It is amazing. It will inspire you and encourage you. And there are also 13 other authors who share their story about setting healthy boundaries. So that's it for our little break. Let's get back into part two of this episode. Okay, he loves us because he just loves us. All right. And so let me give you some examples here of what legalism could look like. So one thing that God showed me, he was like, some of my people, like for example, let's say you feel short and you made a mistake, right? And you feel bad for it. You went to God for it. You repented. You apologized. You did all these different things, right? But then you turn around and try to do 10 good things to cancel out that one wrong thing that you done. That's legalism, okay? That's legalism. God has already forgiven you. God has already given, you know, given you grace and mercy in that particular area when you came to him the first time. You don't have to do all these things to prove to him that you're worthy of his love, period. Okay. And I remember he reminded me of like early on in my early years of, you know, being a Christian as a part of a ministry. And, you know, every church has, you know, the pros and cons. If you look at, you know, the New Testament, you can see how Paul is writing letters to every church, and every church he wrote to had good things they did and things they, you know, wanted, you know, needed to improve on. Okay. So I've definitely spent a lot of time reading the New Testament. It's so good. Okay. And so I remember during this time, my husband and I had just got married. He's in the military. He had to get, you know, he had orders to go to a different state, which is about 2 hours away. It wasn't long at all. But I was in graduate school. And so if I would have left for just that year that he was gone, I would have lost all my college credits. And so he and I both decided that for me to stay behind, stay where I was until I got finished with school. And I had already been in grad school for 2 years. Okay. So if I would have left this particular state and went to that state, I would have lost 2 years of college credits. Okay. And I was almost done with school.
And so I remember our plan was for me to go up there every other weekend, and then he would come here the other weekend. We kind of take turns because he was working like 60 plus hours a week. Okay. That's a lot of hours. And he was by himself. He had, no family there, no friends there. It was just him. All right. He was newly married. He was pretty much newly at being, babes in Christ too, as well. And so I remember on the weekends, I would go there. And I remember the mother of the church at that time was like, I don't understand why you are leaving and you're not at church, every, on weekend because you need to be here. And I was like, I felt guilty when she said that. I'm like, well, this is my husband. Like, this is a decision that he and I, made together. And so I remember telling at the time my hairdresser, who's also a mentor, who would minister to me about marriage. I thank God for her. I thank God for my aunt. Those two, oh my God, they really helped me to understand how to build a healthy foundation when it came to marriage, okay, and being on one accord. And so she said, Shakita, no, ma'am. She said, if you don't get in your car and you don't go and be with your husband, and y'all do what y'all gotta do. She said, play the sermons in your car. She said, pray in your car, worship in your car, do whatever you gotta do. But your husband needs you. You need to be there because it wasn't fair, for him to have to always drive here where I was at after working 60 hours a week. He was exhausted. Okay. And I was working, I think part-time, and I was in grad school going to class at nighttime. So I had way more time than he did. I had way less stress on me. So why wouldn't I go be with my husband? It was only a 2-hour drive. And so I did that. Every other weekend, I would go there and he would come here. And you guys, like, it was amazing because that's during that time, I spent a whole bunch of time in prayer. I was in my word a lot. So I would be at work, I would go to class. When I came home, talk to my husband on the phone, and I would be in my word and prayer. Okay. And so I remember coming back to church on the weekends that he, I didn't come, he would come here and we would go together. And someone told Shakita, she's like, I can't believe that, like, you are still growing. Oh my God, this is so sad. You are still growing spiritually, and you only hear at church like 2 or 3 times a month. And I'm like, what? Like, that just baffled me because their perception of spiritual growth and spiritual maturity and growing in Christ and growing, spending time with God was equivalent to being at church every Sunday, every Wednesday, and 2 or 3 times a week. And then not only that, I was in grad school. I had a class I had to take on Wednesday nights, which was typically Bible study. And he told me, Shakita, well, why aren't you here? Because you need to be here for Bible study. I'm like, I got class. I'm in grad school. Like, the Lord had led me to start grad school. If I didn't go to grad school, I wouldn't be a therapist today, more likely. So it was a season where I had to do that because after I finished school, I had to move with my husband to a whole different state. Okay. So it would have been so much delay, y'all. That's a whole topic all by itself. And so, I just found that very interesting because like what it was, she would hear me, in prayer or hear me praising and worshiping God, during service. And she thought, like, wow, like, Shakita is growing, but like, she's not here. And I'm just like, and then I didn't know it was called legalism. I didn't know it was called, religion per se, I was like, wow. I was like, wow. So anyway, God reminded me of that this morning to share with you all that if that is you, right, that is legalism. Oh my gosh, like, I could say so much with that, but I'm gonna stop there. I digress. That's right. It's sadly the spirit of religion at its finest. Absolutely. And I mean, I didn't know it then, but looking back now, like when I left there, God really had to do a work on my mind, a work on my perception of him and how I saw myself because of the spirit of religion and legalism. And sadly, many people are dealing with that today. And I see it everywhere. I see it everywhere. Okay. And so, here's some other signs that you could be dealing with legally. So also, yeah, I had a client, this was many, many years ago in therapy. And, you know, God will always send me these prophetic people to counsel and mental health, okay, as far as mental health. And outside of that, you know, I will also have like these prophetic group mentorship groups from women. This was like years ago. And some of them will come that I also counsel in therapy. And I will always come with a teaching that God would give me, not really knowing that some of them were dealing with some of the same things that I was teaching that day. I was just being obedient to what God gave me to teach. Okay. So I would go, you know, I would show them, teach them what God gave me. And it was about, you know, religion. Okay. And one of the girls confessed, she said, oh my God, she said, in order for me to read the Bible, I fast and I pray. So she was saying she don't read God's word unless she prays and fasts. That is like, that's legalism. Like, she was bound, like, really, they ain't even in scripture that you had to fast and pray, even in the Old Testament, in order to read the Bible. And so that completely changed her mindset and her perception of, you have to do all these things to hear God's voice. You got to do all these things to be in relationship with him. You got to do all these things to, like, be forgiven for your sins and so much more. Oh my gosh, y'all. Ooh, this topic is very robust, y'all. So I'm gonna try my best to get through it. So just pray for me, okay? It's good, but it's a lot. And so, okay, so here's one more thing. Okay, the first other signs here is this: excessive focus on rules over relationships. All right, so prioritizing strict adherence to rules over fostering genuine relationships within the church community. For example, enforcing specific dress codes for church attendance instead of welcoming all seeking spiritual guidance and community. Pretty much, like, you're so focused on trying to make sure that everyone is obeying the rules and the traditions of the church, right? To the point where people can't come to church and be free to be themselves, to come as they are. And for me, I know, you know, growing up in church when I was younger, we had to dress up for one thing. We couldn't come in pants. You couldn't come in jeans. You couldn't come in, you had to wear a skirt. You had to wear a dress, whatever it was, okay? And what if somebody can't afford that? What if somebody doesn't have the money to go and buy these nice, nice clothes to come to church, y'all? And so that's legalism. That's legalism, okay? And so if you feel like you have to do that in order to go to church, that's not good. Now, if you want to go to church and wear a 5-piece suit or a 10-piece suit, you go ahead and do that, okay? I've definitely visited missions before in the past where, you know, you're able to, you know, wear what you want to wear. And so with that being said, I see people come and they have on a 10-piece suit. Some come and they have on just a tank top and jeans, right? So they really had this culture of, like, coming as you are, right, when it came to the dress code. Of course, don't come to church naked. Don't come to church naked, you know? But they did not focus on that. They really focused on teaching the word of God, okay? And I've seen this so many times, even myself. I had did a teaching last year called Relationship versus Religion with God. And I shared, you know, my experiences there too as well. And I also shared examples of what that could look like. It's so good. That also too, the dream I had in that particular teaching. So you want to look at that, it's on YouTube. Okay, it's so good. All right. Number two, judging others based on religious performance. Okay, criticizing or looking down on fellow believers who don't adhere to specific religious practices or standards. For example, harshly judging someone who misses church services due to personal reasons instead of offering support or understanding. Absolutely. Once again, as I shared earlier, my testimony, my experience with, you know, being in ministry where I was told I need to be there every Sunday, every Wednesday, every day, that the doors open without looking at the fact that I'm a newlywed. I just got married. I'm in grad school, trying to finish school. Why not offer me, you know, me some support saying, hey, like, how can we support you guys? Are y'all okay? We didn't receive any support when it came to that. And it was not. So I thank God for my hairdresser during that time. Oh my God, because my marriage probably would have, like, really had a really, really rocky start because of that. Okay, Number three, lack of forgiveness and grace. Refusing to forgive someone who has made mistakes or fallen short of religious standards. For instance, excluding or ostracizing a member of the congregation who has confessed a past mistake rather than extending grace and helping them move forward. My God. So when I read this just now, what comes to my mind was the story about, I can't forgot the name of the church, y'all. It was a docuseries on Netflix, and I think I forgot the pastor name, my God. But anyway, you probably know what I'm talking about. But the pastor, it was a lot going on there. He had been cheating on his wife. It was so much going on. And he ended up confessing to the leaders what he had done, and he was very sorry. He was very remorseful. He was very shamed. He felt ashamed, and he was seeking help. And so instead of them helping him to get help and to help him to be restored, they ended up pushing him away. They fired him, cut his family off. It was just horrible. And I was just so disgusted because I'm like, yes, he has fallen short. His wife, you know, stayed with them. They were able to work their marriage out. But he confessed it, y'all, and he repented for it. And he needed help. Now, definitely, he shouldn't be continuing to preach in the pulpit. I definitely agree with that as he got himself together. But it was horrible. That's a prime example of what I just did. Lack of forgiveness and grace. And so he was like, you know, ostracized from the ministry. He couldn't do anything else with them. And that really broke him as well, even the more. So that's horrible. All right. Number four, external piety over internal transformation. Emphasizing outward displays of religious behavior without genuine internal growth or transformation. This could involve someone who prays loudly in public to be seen as devout but lacks humility or compassion in personal interactions. That is so true. That's so true. I have definitely experienced that, you know, myself. For me, y'all don't know me on personal level, right? Y'all see me on social media. But for me, I feel like I display who I am in public and in private the same way. And so I am primarily a teacher of God's word. Can I preach? Yes. Can I pray the house down? Absolutely, right? But I'm not doing those things to say, look at me, look at what I can do, right? That is operating in legalism as well. So that can make other people, you know, feel uncomfortable or feel bad if you're not operating from the right spirit, right? And I even had a dream just the other week. Like I was amongst a whole bunch of, you know, women ministers who were hooping and hollering and yelling. And I was like, I'm not doing all that. I'm about to come up here. I'm about to teach this word, feed God's people, and go get somewhere and sit down, you know? And so, like, you can't determine someone's walk with God based off of their outward appearance, how they pray, what they look like, or any of that. Oh my God, prime example, my youngest daughter, she's 8 years old. She loves to pray with me. She loves to spend time in the word with me as well. But her prayers are simple. Her prayers is, God, I pray for my mommy. I pray for my daddy. I pray for people who are home. It's very simple because she's 8 years old, but it's so powerful. Her words are powerful. I can feel the weight of her words because of her heart, y'all. Because of her heart, okay? And she has faith, okay? Same thing with my husband. You know, he's chill, relaxed, right? But when he speak a word from the Lord, like I'm speaking to you right now, it hit me like a ton of bricks because he's speaking from a pure place. He's speaking the word of God. Loud doesn't mean you're more anointed. Loud doesn't mean that God favors you more. Loud does not mean that, you know, you're getting your point across. I can't stand somebody yelling and screaming at me now. I can't stand it. I was in it when I was, you know, a baby in Christ, but now it hurts my ears. I'm like, teach me. I want substance. Give me the meat of the word of God. I don't care about all that. Okay. So you experience that, you know, take it before the Lord, you know, allow God to, if you are doing this, ask God to transform your heart and your mind. If you have experienced, you know, being shunned or put down because you don't operate this way, you know, forgive them, you know, ask God to heal your heart. Okay. Number five, fear-based motivation in religious practices. Engaging in religious practices out of fear of divine punishment rather than out of genuine love and devotion to God. For example, attending church solely because of the fear of being judged by others rather than out of desire to grow spiritually. But I just said pretty much, right? If you are afraid to miss church because you don't want to be punished or, you know, looked down on or asked 1,001 questions, that is a clear sign that you are in a place where they're operating in legalism. Their first question should be is, are you okay? How are you doing? We missed you this past Sunday. Now, where you been, girl? We ain't seen you in a long time. I can't stand that. Like, y'all, I can't stand that. Oh, my God. Or they don't talk to you unless you at church. But in between, you know, they never call to see how you were doing. Like, hey, how are you doing? Are you okay? Not from a place of they want to be nosy or draw you back into the church because just to keep up, I guess, appearances or keep the tithes and offering coming in, whatever. Okay. Number six, selective application of religious rules. Applying religious rules or principles selectively based on personal or biases. Okay. For instance, holding certain individuals to stricter moral standards while turning a blind eye to similar behavior in others based on their social status or personal relationships. So pretty much like, let's say, you know, okay, my husband's the pastor, right? And, you know, it's me, I'm there and someone else may be there, but because I'm his wife, he can't correct me. Or he's not going to, you know, confront me about certain things because I'm his wife, but the other person is doing the same thing I'm doing. They get, you know, beat over the head with the Bible. No, accountability is accountability. It doesn't matter your status. It doesn't matter. You know, you should not be above correction. None of us should be, whether you're on social media, I don't care where you are. Accountability needs to be in place for all believers. Okay. Number seven, resistance to change and new insights. Rejecting new interpretations of scripture or resisting changes within the church community due to an insistence or on adhering strictly to traditional doctrines or practices. This can hinder potential growth opportunities. So pretty much right here, what they're saying is, okay, of course, like when you're a baby in Christ, you're taught different things. I can look back now once again and look at so many things that I was taught that was not accurate, that was not right. And it took the word of God to transform my mind. So with that being said, if I wasn't willing to allow myself to be transformed by the word of God, I'm still being transformed. We all should be, right? Going from faith to faith and from glory to glory, right? Then I'm going to be stuck. Right, I'm not opening up my mind to the Holy Spirit. Like, I can definitely say there's time. Like, well, I remember one time, prime example, y'all, this is so religious. Okay, I remember I was in a bookstore. This was like, oh, I was just many, many, many years ago, and I was trying to find a new Bible, but I was looking for KJV because I was taught that you had to have a KJV Bible in order to really understand and read God's word, even though I was having a hard time understanding KJV. All right. So I'm checking out, and a guy at the counter, and this was so God, this was so Holy Spirit. He said, do you only buy these kind of Bibles, KJV? I said, yeah. He was like, but why? And I was like, oh, well, that's what I was taught, that I had to, you know, read only KJV Bibles. And he was like, he kind of shook his head. He didn't say anything wrong or anything mean. But I was like, God, that is true, right? Now, I know that every Bible is not the same. Some Bibles are leaving stuff out. But I do go back and forth. I read KJV. If I don't understand it, I'm going to go to NIV. I'm going to look at different versions of their scripture to get understanding. And there's nothing wrong with that. And it's sad because I even look back in the ministry I was at, and they're telling me to look at KJV, but at the same time, they were not a teaching ministry. They did not disciple us, okay? If anything, they operated more heavily on the gifts of the Spirit than the Word of God. And so I had to be transformed and really dig in my Word for myself. I've shared it with you guys who follow me for a while, time and time again, how you have to be in your Word to anchor your gifts. You cannot just be dependent on your gifts in order for you to really understand what God is saying. You have got to get in the Word of God. And once I got in the Word of God, like, I grew even the more. So you can, and then you can have all these gifts, but then you thinking you hearing, you know, hearing God or you're seeing something, and really it's not God, it's your own imagination. Well, how can you judge what you're seeing and judge what you're hearing if you're not in your word, right? Like, for example, my dream I had last night, I was able to interpret that dream with no problem because I've been in my word, because I've been before God, because I had this same experiences too, okay? But the word of God, and then God began to speak to me in scripture. God speaks to us in scripture as well too, you guys, okay? So remember that. Remember that. All right, number eight, okay, persistent feelings of guilt and condemnation. You're constantly feeling guilty for not meeting religious expectations, leading to a lack of confidence and joy in one's faith journey. You guys, our walk with God is supposed to have joy as well. Of course, you're going to have hard seasons. You're going to have, you know, storms and valleys and all these good, all these different things in your life, in period, whether you're a believer or not. But when you are in walking with the Lord, y'all, and you're constantly feeling guilty for something, that's definitely legalism, and that's not good, and that's not God. God wants us to experience freedom, and he wants us to experience joy in walking with him. Y'all, God is so full of personality, it don't make no sense. Like, how he speaks to us in different ways, to me, is just so amazing. Okay, God is funny, has a sense of humor. Okay, like the things that my husband tells me, when God's laughing, I'm like, you heard God laugh before? He was like, yeah, I heard him laugh. I've never heard God laugh before, but he has. You know, and so I just think it's so beautiful in the different ways that God speaks to us. And if you're not experiencing that joy like that, then that's a problem. That's a clear sign that you could be operating in legalism. Number nine, lack of empathy and compassion. Being unsympathetic or judgmental toward individuals struggling with personal issues or crisis. Prioritizing religious rules, overextending compassion and support. So pretty much, you know, this is pretty much saying you lack an empathy for other people and compassion. Like, you feel like, okay, well, that person's struggling because of sin. That's not true at all whatsoever. Right. That's not true. People suffer for different reasons. It could be generational. It could be because of sin, but that's not always the case. It's called life. Life, y'all. Life happens. Life. Life. Me and my husband had a talk the other day talking about healing and deliverance. And the Lord had actually put it on my heart maybe about 3 weeks ago. At some point, I'm going to do a teaching about understanding healing and deliverance. It's not the same. And so I asked him, like, his brother had died like 3 years ago. He was actually murdered. And so he's been grieving. And I'm like, okay. So for example, I'm like, you're grieving your brother and you have periods of sadness, right? And you miss him so much. So are you saying that you need deliverance because you're grieving? He was like, no, I don't need deliverance. I said, exactly. I said, you need healing. God's going to heal your heart as you continue to walk this grief journey out. So you don't have to. So everything is not deliverance, y'all. It's not. Everything is not. So he's not sitting here depressed and in the corner. He grieving. He cries. He's emotional. But he's not always that way 24/7. That is normal. That's normal. Okay. But some people will say otherwise, that it is demonic, and it's not. All right. And number 10 here, focusing on outward religious acts, emphasizing outward displays of religious observance while neglecting to show love, kindness, and generosity to those in need. Yes. Okay. So I got through that, you guys. So earlier I mentioned that religion and legalism is different. Religion in itself isn't necessarily bad, okay? And I'm going to that in just a moment very briefly. But as I said before, I did a whole teaching on that last year. It's about 40 minutes long. It's really, really good. I'll put that in the description on Facebook and YouTube whenever I get done. Okay, and so I do want to go over really quickly what the difference is, and then I'm going to go into scripture, okay? So legalism refers to an excessive adherence to rules and regulations, emphasizing strict observance of laws or traditions without necessarily understanding the underlying principles or the spirit behind them. So why are you doing this thing? Why are you doing it? I have reached a point where I'm doing something and I'm saying I'm doing it for God or whatever and whatever it may be. Okay, why am I doing this? Am I doing it because, you know, the Lord led me to do it? Am I doing it because I feel like I have to do it in order to earn God's love? Like, you need to question your motives. Ask God, okay, God, show me my heart. Show me. And he will. Okay. So in Christianity, legalism manifests as an overemphasis on following religious laws and rules, once again, to earn salvation or favor with God. It focuses on the external behaviors rather than internal transformation, promoting judgmental attitudes towards yourself and towards others. Okay, religion refers to a system of beliefs, practices, rituals, and doctrines that guide one's faith and relationship with God. Religion has different denominations, different traditions, and understanding of God's word, right? While religion can be a positive force providing structure, community, and moral guidance, it can also start to have these legalistic tendencies if it is overly emphasized, right? If it's overly emphasized, okay? And that's where the problem lies. And I realized that this is what I told my husband the other day. When it comes to these different denominations and doctrines and theologies and whatnot, this is what the Holy Spirit told me the other day. He was like, it's so many of these days because people want to be the ones to create something new, or they want to feel like they're doing something so great and so grand. And so people like create these different doctrines and theologies and different things instead of just following the Holy Spirit, following God, reading his word. And then not only that, this is not a bad thing per se. On the flip side of that is, you know, we all have different types of ministries, okay? I know people who are very well-versed when it comes to understanding the end times. There are people who are very well-versed in teaching healing and deliverance. There are some that are very well-versed in teaching and understanding Christ's walk and so much more, y'all. So, like, God is not requiring for us to know the Bible in its entirety, but he is requiring us to come together in fellowship to teach each other, to learn from one another, and to lay down our pride and really hear what the other person is saying, you guys. Like, that's, and so whenever you are not open to hearing nothing that, you know, a brother is saying in Christ, you know, saying about the word, then you're like operating in pride. I definitely watch YouTube videos more than anything. And I said, I'm like, Lord, I don't agree with that. I said, but let me look in your word for myself and let me look and see what he's saying. I try my best not to close stuff off immediately without getting understanding and context, right? And so we have to, like, it's just, y'all already know. If you go on social media right now, if you go on Instagram, YouTube, wherever you are, everybody has something they got to say about something. And like, it's just, it's exhausting, to be honest. Like, this person is wrong. That person is right. This person got dead. This person, it's just too much. It's just too much. If we all just focus on our relationship with God, reading our word, and really laying down our pride, I think there would be a lot more unity in the body of Christ. And this Bible, y'all, is so robust. This Bible is so full of different traditions too, different things that, you know, different countries and cultures and things did. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but is it religious? Is it legalism? Is it pulling them away from Christ Jesus? Okay. That needs to be the question. Is it drawing you closer to God or away from God? Okay. All righty. Look at you guys' comments. She said, good word. Thank you so much. Amen. Thank you for joining in. Okay. Thank you. Yes. Okay. The next part here, I'm not going to go over this part again. I'll probably put this in the description box on YouTube and Facebook. All right. All right. So with that being said, as I was reading, writing everything out this morning and, you know, spending time with the Lord with this word, he pretty much was like, this is what the Pharisees did. The Pharisees, they had, you know, traditions that were not necessarily bad, but they became bad and they became legalistic whenever they put those traditions above God. They put those traditions and they enforced them so much and so heavily, so much so that people that was serving under them, one, they're supposed to be plus they've been serving, they ended up, you know, making it harder for them, like making it almost impossible for these people to feel like they, you know, that God loves them. So I'm going to go real quick to Matthew chapter 23. So I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but the whole chapter is literally Jesus himself chastising the Pharisees about what they do. Okay. So I'm going to read the first few scriptures here, and then I'm going to get into breaking the word down some more. Okay. It says Matthew chapter 23. Okay, this is Christ now. He went off. He went in, okay? He said, the scribes and the Pharisees are seated in the chair of Moses. Therefore, do whatever they tell you and observe it, but don't do what they do because they don't practice what they teach. They tie up heavy loads that are hard to carry and put them on people's shoulders, but they themselves aren't willing to lift a finger to move them. They do everything to be seen by others. They enlarge their phylacteries and lengthen their tassels. That's a little, I had to look that up, you guys. So the Jews, you know, then they had, and still today, have these small boxes where they had scriptures in it and they wore it around their arm, okay? They enlarge their phylacteries and lengthen their tassels. They love the place of honor at banquets, the front seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called rabbi by people. And so, in other words, if you read this whole chapter, you can see, you know, what Christ is telling them, like, you guys, like, y'all want all this honor, all this glory, and you tell everyone to do this and to do that when you yourself can't even uphold these laws and traditions. And Christ came here, you guys, to fulfill the law. He came to fulfill the law. What does that mean? He knows that we cannot, in our own strength, in our own capacity, live like this perfect lifestyle. It's just not going to happen. It's not. But through Christ, through what he did for us, we have freedom. That's why I call this live today, Freedom in Christ, Breaking the Chains of Legalism. And whenever you feel like you can't live up to something and you keep trying it, all you're doing is like making yourself more anxious and operating, you know, in legalism and feeling depressed and weighed down and heavy. It's what the Pharisees did to the people, made them feel like they was, you know, they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. Okay. And so then the Lord had me fast forward to this scripture, though, in Matthew 23. Let me pull this up on my tablet, my notes. This was so good, y'all. It says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup so that the outside of it may also become clean. And so in my dream, I was telling this woman, I'm like, God looks at your heart. He is looking at your heart. He is not looking at what you're doing on the outside. We can look good. We can dress. We can do all these different things, our works. Man, like, oh, God, you guys, it's just a lot. Every time I mention something, I keep getting these different memories that come up for me, not just for me, but even in different jobs that I've had. And I'll share that in just a moment, but let me share this part right really quickly. And so if you look at 1 Samuel chapter 16 and 7, this is where God has sent Samuel to go anoint David as the next king. But, you know, David was young, you know, he was little, he was small, he wasn't built and big in stature. And so whenever the Lord told Samuel to do, he's like, God, are you sure? Are you sure? And the Lord said to him, for the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Okay. He looks at the heart of that person. He's not looking at all your actions, which he is, but not the way he is with your heart. Your heart is way more important, okay? And don't, for some of you who's saying, God know my heart, but you still doing things you shouldn't be doing now. That's not what I'm saying either. okay? Because God's word says that we are saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus and not by our own efforts or works. Ephesians chapter 2 and 8 through 9. Grace alone, faith alone. Grace alone means that God loves, forgives, and saves us, not because of who we are or what we do, but because of the work of Christ and what he did for us, you guys. My God. My God. And so I remember real quickly, I used to work at hospice, and I used to have to go to the nursing home sometimes to see some of the patients we had, and some of them had dementia, Alzheimer's. And I never forget, it was this one lady I wanted to go see, and now she had Alzheimer's. And you guys, she was mean. Oh, come on. Mean. And I looked at her, you know, like where I was working at, they had like a big old plaque of their life, telling them about their name, where they from, what they've done. And you guys, she was a believer. Okay. And it was just saying about all the things that she had done, all her works, how she, you know, was the secretary of the church. She did for 30 years. I mean, she was, works was amazing. But y'all, she was evil. Like when I came into the room, she was trying to scratch me. She was calling me the N-word, all kind of stuff. Okay. And in that moment, I'm like, wow, God, like, and God was like, her heart wasn't pure before me. Her works say one thing, but her heart said another. And I know people will say, well, Alzheimer's and dementia, you really don't know. You can't really say that, you know, that person was evil because they can change them. I beg to differ. I believe, this is what I've seen, that it pulls out the worst or the best in you. Because I also had seen patients before who were believers who had Alzheimer's or dementia, and they were sweet as pie. Sweet as pie. Saying, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, thank you. Oh, my God, I've seen it across the spectrum. I used to work in it for a few years, okay? And I was like, wow. I was like, this is a huge, like, difference. Like, what's the heart? Their heart, you guys. Their heart, okay? All righty. So the next part, I'm almost done. So this is what God told me to tell you guys too as well. He said, everyone's conviction is different depending on the posture of their heart and their relationship with God. And so I see people oftentimes will compare their walk with God with other people. Let me give you an example. So I have met, you know, over the years, you know, women who have told me like, hey, like, you know, I went through a season where, you know, God told me that, you know, I couldn't wear makeup for a year. I had to wear a skirt. I couldn't do these different things. But that's because it had became their idol. It had became their idol. And it's because God didn't tell me to do that, which they weren't telling me that, saying anything bad to me about me per se. But I'm using it as an example. So I'm not addicted to makeup. I'm not addicted to clothes. I'm not addicted to those things. So God has never really had to tell me to don't wear makeup for a year or don't dress up for a year, whatever the case may be, because my heart, that's not my heart posture. I'm not addicted to these things. And so what I'm saying is everyone's conviction is different. So if you see a sister or brother in Christ saying God told them to do this, right, in order to, you know, transform their heart, their mind, don't judge them, and vice versa. If God told you to do X, Y, Z, and someone else isn't doing it, you don't do that, right? Everyone's walk with God is so different, and it's so beautiful. And I love hearing people's stories about their experiences with God, what God has shown them. Like, you got, I'm so beyond, like, oh, you know what, he showed me. No, it's not about me, right? It's about God. It's about the Holy Spirit and how much he shows us that he loves us and that he's with us, okay? So, okay, anyway. So the last part I'm going to go over real quickly is how to heal from legalism and religion. And when I say religion, I mean that you're operating in religion and not in a relationship with God. Okay. So it definitely is. It's a mindset thing. It is definitely a mindset thing. Number one is you have to recognize that you may have legalistic patterns, okay? And I definitely had a legalistic pattern. I remember I shared this a while back, and I'll share it real quickly. I came from a ministry when I first was, you know, a baby in Christ, where we had prayer a lot. We had shutters a lot. That's the great thing. I'm not against that. I'm sure God's not against that. But what I'm saying is it made it feel like we couldn't really, like, pray unless we were at an altar or at church, or we was just, like, you know, somewhere secluded. And the Lord had to really deal with me about that to the point where I had friends, Shakita, the Lord told me to tell you this. I'm like, oh, wow. I'm like, I didn't think about it like that, right? I didn't know any better, okay? And so I had to go through a period where God was saying, pray now, talk to me now. You don't have to wait till you get home or go to your prayer closet. You can talk to me anytime, any day, any place, anywhere. You can do that. You don't have to be at the church, on the pulpit, at the church, at the altar, in order to hear me speak to you. So I definitely had to go through that, you know, as well. So recognize that you might have legalistic patterns. So for me, from there, I had to pursue God. Okay, God, show me areas in my mind where I need to be stretched, because this is not healthy. Okay. Number two, study grace and gospel-centered teachings. Engage in studying the teachings of Christ Jesus in the New Testament, focusing on messages of grace, love, forgiveness, and freedom found in Christ. So the four gospels. The four gospels, you guys, like, you read it, like, that is the blueprint for our life. It really is. If you follow the life of Christ, you will see how he interacted with people, how he responded, how he showed love to sinners, how he showed love to believers. You will see all those things, you guys. Go and read the four gospels. Number three, seek an understanding of relationship over rules. Shift the focus from following rules to nurturing a personal relationship with God. Understand that faith is not solely about adhering to a set of regulations, but about knowing and experiencing God's love and grace. So once again, I have a memory that's triggered now. So I remember I was working at a company in mental health, and my colleague, who's also my, you know, the leader over our team, she used to irk my nerves, and I irked her nerves too. It was mutual. I got on her nerves, she got on my nerves. And I didn't realize at the time that God was using us to sharpen each other. Like, looking back now, I know that she knows that too. But during that time period, like, we didn't know that God was trying to break things in both of us. Okay. So for me, it was communication. Like, I come from a household where, you know, you don't share how you feel. You're not sharing, you know, nothing, pretty much, right? Keep it to yourself. And so she would trigger me so much to the point where I would just kind of avoid her. I wouldn't talk to her. But she challenged me. She was like, Shakita, I noticed that you, like, feel some kind of way. I can feel your energy. I can feel the room shifts. Like, what is it? I'm going to talk about it. Nothing. And, like, one day I said, you get on my nerves. Snapped on her. And she said, why though? And I was, like, so shocked at how patient she was and how she was just like, tell me, Shakita, like, how do you feel about me? I said, you get on my nerves because of X, Y, Z, da, da, da. She said, okay, just tell me that. I can take it. And I'm just like, this girl's crazy. Okay, that was like, oh my God, I've been way well over 10 years ago. Okay. But she got on my nerves because she had a self-righteous attitude. She's the kind of person that was trying to operate in perfectionism. Things had to be done a certain way. I'm like, oh my God. I told her that. I said, you are trying to impose your perfectionism on me when it comes to this job. And I know that I'm flowing and I'm doing what I'm supposed to do because my work speaks for itself. My clients are making progress. But you keep trying to, like, tell me what to do. You know, and she's like, I'm sorry, you're right. She apologized. And from there, she and I both was able to grow in certain areas. And we became friends because she used to get on my nerves, okay? Get on my nerves. And she said, my family, you know, we would meet every single week to have meetings with each other, to share how we feel, to share, you know, things that bothered us within our family dynamic. I'm like, shut up. I'm like, who did that? So I didn't grow up doing that, you guys. And so be open to allowing God to stretch you and sharpen you. And he'll do that by using other people too. Okay. Number four, practice self-compassion and grace. Extend grace and compassion to yourself and to others. Community and fellowship, being around people who truly operate and walk in love towards you. You know you're in that kind of environment, because if you come from an environment where it's legalistic, and then you're in an environment where it's like so much love and it's like so much grace there, but they're still sharpening you, it's going to feel a little awkward at first. You're going to be like, man, like, this is different, but it's different in a good way. Okay. So trust the process. Number six, you know, really try to understand scripture. You know, the best thing for you to do, once again, is to, I'll say it's until the day that I leave this earth, get in your word, get in your Bible, okay? We have no excuse these days to not be able to find, you know, different types of Bibles to help us to understand God's word. Over the years, I've used different types of Bibles as I've grown. The one I'm using now, I have been for, this Bible is amazing. I love this Bible. Yes, this Bible is by Dr. Tony Evans. My gosh, the purple Bible. I love this Bible. Okay. It has like where you can scan the barcode to look at some of his teachings. Let's see, pause through the book. There we go. Hopefully it's still going on Instagram. And so I like this Bible. I've had the Joyce Meyer's Bible. I've had like a couple's Bibles for marriages. Like I've had so many Bibles, y'all, but we really don't have an excuse, right, to really not understand God's word. Many people are teaching God's word. And I know sometimes it can be confusing or overwhelming, but you know, just pray and ask Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you to connect with people who are really, truly sharing the word of God, who are teaching and discipling others, okay? That's right. See, it's trust the process. That's what Dawala, thanks for getting on. How you doing? And thanks, Shandy Williams. Thanks for getting on, too. Okay. All righty. And then we have, let me see, instant of scripture. All right. Number 7, practice spiritual discipline with grace. I'm engaged in spiritual disciplines with such as prayer, meditation, and studying the word of God. So what that means is like still being consistent. God is not requiring you to be so rigid with your schedule to the point where you're not flexible. And I can talk a little bit more about that. For me, seasons change. In one season, I might be, you know, up reading my word, you know, extra early in the morning. And one season, it might be late at night or it might be in the midday, right? So just be flexible, but be consistent, pretty much. Be consistent. That's how your mind continues to be renewed and be challenged, okay? Take journal. I would say journal, like as you continue to learn about areas in your mind where you may be operating in legalism, write it down, you know, ask the Lord to give you scriptures to study, to really fight and replace those thoughts. It takes time to change your thoughts, you guys. It doesn't happen overnight. When I went through my journey of breaking away from legalism and extreme religion, it really took time. It took time and it took me having grace for myself because I would feel so bad. My God, what in the world happened? Like, I love you. I honor you. So like, I don't understand how I became this way. It wasn't my fault. I didn't know anybody. I was a baby in Christ, right? Okay. Embrace vulnerability and imperfection. Ah, that's a good one. I know a lot of us may struggle with, you know, struggling with perfectionism. So acknowledging vulnerability and imperfection is part of the human experience. Embrace personal growth through vulnerability and recognize that God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. So true. I'm at number 10. I'm continuing to pray for guidance and transformation. I said this before so many times. I'm always asking God, stretch my thinking, stretch my capacity, help me to see, you know, this word or whatever I'm studying from your lens. And once again, every person, every single person is different. God may give you revelation about a scripture that he didn't give somebody else. And I think that's why so many people are also creating these different doctrines and different theologies and different things, because we are getting different revelations from the same exact scripture. And that does happen. I heard people say, no, it doesn't. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Because I can read something today and I can read it and understand it. And I can read it again next year, next month. And I can see it and understand it from a different level. Okay. The word of God is like a river. It never runs dry. You're always learning something about the same exact thing that you can read 5,000 times. Okay. All right. So that's all I have today in reference to what the Lord had me to share with you all. I try my best to take my time and get through it because it was a lot. It was a lot of information. If you want me to, I'll go ahead and put some of the notes in the description on YouTube and Facebook. But I do want to mention this as well. So there is a such thing as religious OCD. That is a person who struggles with obsessive thoughts, behaviors, They have different, you know, triggers, different things that cause them to repeat the same behavior or same thought over and over and over and over and over again. I've definitely treated OCD in a variety of different ways when it comes to therapy. So I'm not going to get into that today. That's a whole separate teaching. I'm all by itself, but it's very, very real. Okay. And so hopefully on the Faith and Mental Wellness podcast, I can have a guest to come on to talk about that. Or it'll be me. It'll be a guest. It'll be me, or it might be both. We'll see. And so for those of you who are on, you know, I just launched a Faith and Mental Wellness podcast. It is an extension of the vision God gave me for the Faith and Mental Wellness Summit and the Faith and Mental Wellness Directory. And so the goal is to interview people who are therapists, who are life coaches, who are psychologists, psychiatrists, health coaches, life coaches who are operating in Christ-centered services, okay, who understand, you know, how understand the struggles that Christians could be having in a variety of different areas. Okay. So I've been a therapist since 2013. I've been in this field and arena of social work since 06. So I've learned a lot. I've been faced with a lot. I've treated a lot of different things. Right. And so I see what God is doing. It's so amazing. And so I know that Miss Dawila, she will be one of my guests for in probably March. I'm interviewing her next month, but she'll probably be aired on her about self-sabotage. Okay. As a believer, coming up real soon. So be sure you guys go to any major podcast platform, that's Spotify. It's on Apple Podcasts. So it's everywhere. It's called Faith and Mental Wellness Podcast with Shaquita Torres. So Mr. Wallace said, will you be doing another summit in 2024? I don't know, sis. I don't know. The Lord hasn't given me any other insight about that quite yet. And so I'm definitely going to have it again, but I would love to have the summit in person. But having it in person requires resources. It requires a budget, even the more. The one I had this year on the summit was virtual. And it was a great success, but a lot of work, and it was virtual. And so I know I'll have it again, but I just don't know when. I don't know when. God hasn't given me instructions yet. And once he do, I will definitely let you guys know. But I would love to have it in person and have guests come who operate in this vein as well, to be able to just listen. I see it. All right. It's going to happen. I just don't know when. So no problem. Don't feel pressure. Thank you so much. Thank you. So you guys, I have been busy. I have been busy. Just doing and planning and doing what God is calling me to do. And so that's all I have for today. Thank you guys so much for coming in and joining in. I'm going to say a quick prayer and then we will be done. I'm going to go enjoy my family the rest of the day. Okay. So Father, I just thank you, Lord, for your word today, God. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for sharing your heart with your people on today. I pray, God, that this word has brought them clarity, has brought them insight, has caused them to take a second look at themselves, Lord God, at their own hearts and their own patterns and behaviors. Father, help us to see, God, that God, your love for us is free, that we don't have to do anything to earn salvation or anything to earn your love that you have for us. Father, help us to flow in that vein. Help us to operate in that vein. Also to treat others equally and to treat people, God, with love and respect and not from a place of legalism. And so, Father, I pray, God, for those who are, you know, preparing for the holidays, for those who are grieving, for those who have lost, Holy Spirit, be with them. Holy Spirit, comfort them. Holy Spirit, have your way. I even pray, God, as we enter into 2024, Holy Spirit, continue to give us strategy, prepare our hearts and our minds for what's to come. My God, I pray, Lord God, for those who are dealing with anxieties and worry and stress about what to expect. The Holy Spirit, you would just minister to them. Send your angels to minister to them, to comfort them, but to give them strategy, and to help them to prepare mentally and spiritually, God, and also in the natural. And so, God, we love you. We give you the glory, the honor, and praise. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. 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 Whew, that's all I have, you guys. So thank you all again for getting on. Thank you to Instagram. Look at you guys' comments really quickly. I was trying to maneuver back and forth. Amen. Thank you so much for watching the Tama Thomas Cruise 350. Yay. Awesome. So I will see you guys next time. And again, thank you so much for being here. Talk to you soon. All right, YouTube, Facebook, thank you all so much for coming on. Thank you to Walla. Thank you to Shan Williams for getting on. And I will see you guys next time. All right, bye-bye. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. Our prayer is that this podcast episode has blessed you. Don't forget to go and subscribe and leave us a raving review. If you would like to sow into this ministry or to this podcast, Pain, Passion, and Purpose, you can do so at anchor.fm/Pain, Passion, and Purpose or Cash App $ Shakita Torres. Thank you so much, and I will talk to you next time.